The new Princess K of the Milky Way is 18-year-old Linda Kotke of Glencoe, Minnesota. Studio St. Paul, Minneapolis at 830-WCCO.
Kinberry lines a foul to the left, one strike. The White Sox center fielder is lined to short, struck out, flying to left. Last of the eighth inning at Comiskey Park, and the Twins leading 7-1. At Baltimore, Dick Stigman now has come on to do the pitching for the Red Sox. 2-2, Orioles and the Red Sox. Merritt's pitches wide to Berry for a ball. One ball, one strike. Line drive to left for a hit. Hit a change up into left field for a single. Hit number five. Actually, in the seventh inning when the White Sox scored, even though there was no error charged on that play in which Lee Elia beat out a roller and Buford scored from second, the run is unearned because Buford had gone from first to second on a pass ball.
And all Twins runs were unearned that last half inning.
Tom McCraw, the batter, 1-for-3, a single. Left-handed batter takes high for a ball. Well, the Orioles didn't score. It's 2-2 at Baltimore with the Red Sox going into the 11th. One down the right field line, just inside the line for a hit. It appeared they might have a chance to get Berry going to third, but Oliva's throw came in a little bit to the home plate side of third, and Killebrew reaching out could not handle the ball cleanly. Merritt backed up the play. So McCraw, who always seems to have a good game against the Twins, is 2-for-4 tonight, and that'll bring up Jerry Adair, playing short now after starting the game at second. 0-for-3 is the batter. It's popped up twice and slide to left. Right-handed batting Jerry Adair. Runners at first and third. Nobody out. Twins leading 7-1. The stretch by Merritt. The left-hander's pitch. Outside with a fastball. Ball one. Action in the Twins bullpen. Looks like Al Worthington. Merritt delivers outside through the screwball. Two balls to no strikes. And the curve is low for ball three. 3-0. Ball over, a strike, 3-1.
Merritt's pitch has been his fastball tonight. Of those hits, four of them have been off the curve.
Ground ball out near second. Versailles has it, steps on second, throws to first, and it's a double play. Berry scores as Adair grounds into a double play, short to first. So no run batted in. And it's now 7-2 Twins with two out and nobody on for Chicago in the eighth. So a big DP there. Take a lot of the pressure off. And it brings up John Romano, the catcher. Struck out, line to short, fly to center. Right-handed batter with good power. Merritt delivers. Curve, swung on a miss. One strike. Two out, nobody on. 7-2, the Twins lead in the eighth. And the Merritt's pitch. Fastball outside, 1-1. Here's the windup by Merritt and the left-hander's pitch. Fastball, pop foul, back out of play, 1-2. Here's a line about Jim. His pitch just off the outside corner with a fastball. 2-2. Curve hit right back to Merritt. Jim picks it up, throws on over to Mincher, and the side is out. One run, two hits. No one left. Eight innings. Minnesota 7, Chicago 2.
They say the better the water, the better the beer. Well, who knows more about water than Hams from the land of sky blue waters? Refreshing Hams beer is brewed from waters best for brewing. So it tastes best, refreshes you best, glass after glass.
From the land of sky blue waters, Hams beer.
Refreshing Hams beer.
Refreshing Hams beer.
Played a tennis tonight, a fine crowd of 23,296, 23296. And tomorrow afternoon, remember, fans, we'll be with you at 1:10, just like at home on Saturday afternoons. Sunday is a doubleheader, starting also at 1:15.
Ted Ulander leading off, takes a strike. 0-1. Swinging, fouling it at the plate, strike two. Twins 7 runs, 7 hits, no errors. White Sox 2 runs, 6 hits, 1 error. Ulander, Merritt, and Versailles for the Twins. Takes outside with a curve from Pizarro. One ball, two strikes. And the pitch. Swung on line to short. Caught by Adair.
That's what? A fifth put out like that, Herb, and for both sides tonight.
Yeah. Three Twins have lined to short, and two White Sox batters have lined to short. And for Jim Merritt. Fine ball game. 0 for 3 at the plate. Fastball on the outside corner. 0-1. Strike called. 0-2. Earl Batty sees a Tovar and Jerry Zun. Each with two RBIs tonight. Don Mincher has one. Here's the two-strike pitch to Merritt. Strike three on the outside corner. So Jim has called a hot two down. That'll bring up Zoilo Versailles. Zoilo 0 for 4. Hit to the pitcher, struck out, tapped to third, grounded to short. Here's a pitch to him. Strike. Just checking quickly here, Halsey. You can double check. Seems like Zoilo's had an unusual record in the field. I have him with one assist and six putouts.
That's what he has.
Here's the pitch. A low outside, one and one.
In the Washington series, he and Tovar had a very busy time. They handled together up in the 20s.
Pizarro's curve hangs outside. Two balls, one strike. 7-2, the Twins lead. Ninth inning, two out, nobody on. Left-hander Juan Pizarro into his windup. Delivers. Zoilo hits a fly ball to right field in shallow right. Hicks coming on fast, makes the catch. Right fielder for the putout. In the ninth inning, nothing across. We go to the last of the ninth inning. The Twins 7, the White Sox 2. You know, maybe by mail is the way you ought to be saving at Twin City Federal. Works fine for people who live outside the Twin Cities but who still want to enjoy the generous return and safety that makes Twin City Federal so popular. And saving by mail works for folks who live in town but who find it more convenient to handle their savings business through the mail. Saving by mail at Twin City Federal is just as convenient as your mailbox is close and doesn't cost you a cent. Twin City Federal pays the postage both ways on all save by mail transactions. If you'd like complete details, send your name and address on a postcard along with the word Save by Mail to Twin City Federal at 8th and Marquette, Minneapolis. Twin City Federal. That is where safety comes first and generous return right along with it. For Save by Mail information, write to Twin City Federal, 8th and Marquette, Minneapolis, where the famous twin clock flashes time and temperature.
Allowing one earned run, two runs altogether, trying for his third victory. I don't imagine any pitcher with his record of Jim's has pitched better ball. Bill Heller throws him on a new one, and Bill Scourin, who has a two-base hit, will lead off as the Twins lead 7-2. This is the last of the night.
Merritt delivers. Curve strike, 0-1. Scarron, Hicks, and Buford scheduled to bat for Chicago. There's a high foul back over the roof, two strikes.
Herb, you know, is John Miller still pitching for Baltimore?
No, they took him out. The eighth and ninth inning, Eddie Fisher lead, then Wally Bunker.
It's 2-2. The Orioles batting in the 11th.
Scarron hits a hard smash to third. Killebrew digs it out, throws on to first, got in. One away. Now, right fielder Jim Hicks, right-handed batter, has one hit, an infield hit to short in the second inning. Hicks crowds the plate, stands deep in the box. Takes a fastball on the inside corner for a strike. 0-1.
A lot of people sticking around for the fireworks.
One out, nobody on. 7-2 lead for the Twins as Merritt delivers. Swing and a foul back. Strike two. 2 to Jim Hicks as Merritt studies the sign, winds up. Here's the pitch. Off the outside corner, 1-2. Outfield straight away for Hicks. Precise, the shortstop, guarding the hole. And Merritt delivers. Fastball, foul back. Still 1-2. Jim has walked 2 batters tonight, struck out 5. He got his 5 strikeouts in the first 4 1/3 innings. Now it's 1-2 to Hicks with 1 out, nobody on. The windup and the 1-2 delivery. Lined through the box and on into center for a base hit. Merritt threw that screwball that didn't break very much. And Hicks lined at the center, so he's 2 for 4. 7 hits for the White Sox, 7 hits for each club. And here's Don Buford. Only had 1 official at bat and was called out on strikes in the 5th inning. He's the last strikeout victim of Jim Merritt. Batting right-handed.
Got to watch out for a bunt now, too. A bunt for a base hit, of course.
Buford tried that in the 2nd inning, but Hicks was on first, as he is now, and went to 2nd, and he got a sacrifice. Long drive to left field. Ball at the wall looking, and it is a home run. Don Buford into the left field seats. His 6th home run of the year to cut the Twins' lead to 7-4. One man is out, nobody on. And it looks like Pete Ward is going to bat for Pizarro. Batting 210. Left-handed batter. 1 out and nobody on. Don Buford, 6th home run of the year, cutting the Twins' lead to 7-4. His drive just got into the lower left field seats. Here's the pitch. Curve swung on, foul back. Out of play, 1 strike to Ward. The number 9 man in the batting order, Wayne Crosby on deck. They have the pitcher batting in the number 8 spot. That was after their changes in the 8th inning. The pitch. Curve swung on a miss. Strike 2. Jim Merritt had the White Sox shut out for 6 2/3 innings. Then a 2-out walk to Buford. Pass ball, an infield hit by Ilya got him 1 run. 1 more in the 8th and 2 here in the 9th. The pitch. Curve struck him out. Swinging. Ward swinging out. Number 6. For Jim Merritt. And Wayne Crosby, the batter. Wayne entered the game in the 7th inning as a pinch hitter, hit into a 2nd to short force out, stayed in the game at 2nd base. 2 out, nobody on. Takes a strike, bumping a bunt. Here's the windup by Merritt in his one-strike delivery. Swing and a miss at a fastball. Strike two now to Causey. Jim Cott goes after number 20 tomorrow against Gary Peters. Merritt delivers. It is swung on. A fly ball down the left field line. All over near the line is there. He's got it. The game is over. Causey flies to left. The White Sox score twice on two hits in the ninth. And the final score here in the first game of the series at Comiskey Park, the Twins, 7, the White Sox, 4, and here's Halsey.
Yeah, just a little bit after Don Buford's home run in the ninth inning, Donnell Worthington stir around in the box, but Merritt finished strongly, and as I say, I don't suppose anybody with his losing record has ever pitched better, and maybe not as well. So the summary shows Chicago, 4 runs, 8 hits, 1 error. 2, 4, 5, 6, 7. Minnesota, 7 runs, 7 hits, and no errors. Jim Merritt going the distance to be the winner. The losing pitcher, Johnny Bizzard, who started the game and gave up 4 runs in the first inning. Well, folks, we hope you'll be with us tomorrow. Remember, we'll be with you at 1:10 Central Daylight Time and the second game of the series. Minnesota now leads 11-1, an unbelievable margin in this head-to-head conflict with Chicago. Your announcers tonight have been Ray Scott, Herb Carney, yours truly, Halsey Hall, and the producer, Larry Jago. And the final score, once again, before 23,296 fans, Minnesota 7 and the White Sox 4. Duncan.
This Minnesota Twins baseball game was brought to you by today's Wheaties, Breakfast of Champions. Get a kernel full of whole wheat energy in every Wheaties flake. Today's Wheaties, Breakfast of Champions. And by the Pure Oil Company, who reminds you to fire up with Firebird Super, the closest thing to racing gasoline, at the big blue Pure Oil sign. And by Hams, the beer refreshing from the land of sky blue waters. Brewed from water best for brewing to taste best, refresh you best glass after glass. And by Twin City Federal, where half the thrifty families in our part of the country are building happiness with savings accounts or home loans or both. Twin City Federal, champion of the Savings League. Ray Scott's Scoreboard Show is coming up next here on CCO Radio. Listen to Red. From Stewart Flint Top Paints. Hello there. I'm the hottest color around. I'm Flint Top Red by Stewart. Use me for painting the town, for painting the barn, or even the house. You'll find I'm really a scorcher, especially in my shade called Swedish Red, which gives bright new life to any surface. I'm regal in cardinal red and have the loveliness of the sea in pink coral. Use me straight from the Stewart can or tone me down to the most delicate cherry pink. If you see red, be sure it's me, Stewart Red, a versatile color for you. I'm a sizzler inside and out. There's a paint for every purpose at your Stewart paint dealers. Stop in. Ask for Stewart Flint Top Paints for the home. He's listed in the red pages.
The new Princess K of the Milky Way is 18-year-old Linda Kotke of Glencoe, Minnesota.
Now, Ray Scott's scoreboard. Brought to you by your Ford dealer, who now offers you once-a-year savings during his official 1966 Ford clearance sale. Now, here's Ray.
Welcome to our scoreboard show from White Sox Park, Chicago, as the Twins continue their amazing mastery over the White Sox. In the National League, the Dodgers are at San Francisco and out at Candlestick, no score after an inning. Koufax, 20-7 against Bolin. Pittsburgh at St. Louis. The Pirates lead 6-0. St. Louis batting in the seventh. Woody Fryman, Pittsburgh. Jackson started for the Cardinals. Pache and Bryles have relieved.
At Cincinnati, the Reds lead the Phillies 2-0 after 6. O'Toole, McCool in the 7th for Cincinnati. Wise and Knowles in the 6th for Philadelphia. Atlanta beat the Mets 6-3. Johnson won it. McGraw lost it. Atlanta homers, Torrey one on, Torrey none on, Aaron one on. New York, Crane pulled none on. The Cubs at Houston, they had to finish a suspended game first, and Houston won that one 9-8. Zachary won it, and Hands lost it. There were homers by Espromonte with two on. And in the second game, the regularly scheduled game, 2-1 the Cubs after 4, Holtzman against Justy. So that's a rundown on the National League. In 1 minute, we'll look at the scores of the American League games.
You say your Ford dealer really wants the blues?
Sure, it's clearance time, man. Listen.
Give him those empty showroom blues. From clearing out his Fords and Falcons, Mustangs and his Thunderbirds, too. He wants those empty showroom blues. You'll get a deal you can't resist. A deal that thrills you through and through. Make him a long-time man without a car in stock. He'll make you happy if you make him blue. Give him those empty showroom blues. That sold-out melancholy and his ever-loving thanks.
Your Ford dealer's out the floor of the competition with that big floor sale. Why don't you drop by and see him as soon as you can? In the American League, Boston at Baltimore. They're playing in the 12th inning, tied at 2-2. Listen to the list of pitchers. Boston has used Stang, McMahon, Short, Wyatt, Stigman, and Osinski. Baltimore, John Miller, Ed Fisher, Wally Bunker, and Mo Drabowski has just come on in the 12th inning. Boston led 2-0 until the 9th when Rosnovsky and Powell homered to tie it up. The Yankees scored 3 in the last of the 9th to beat Detroit 6-5. The winner was Renneff, and the loser was Aguirre. Detroit homers, Cash none on, McAuliffe none on, and Earl Wilson with one on. New York, Pepitone none on, the rookie Whitaker with none on, and Mickey Mantle hit a 2-run homer in the 9th inning, 6-5 New York. Washington's Mike McCormick bested Steve Hargan of Cleveland 1-0. McCormick allowed 5 hits and Hargan only 7. Washington's run came in the last of the 9th. Kansas City at California. The A's did not score in the first. The Angels are batting Blanco against Coates. Here in Chicago, the Twins' record over the White Sox went to 11-1 with a 7-4 win tonight. The Twins, 7 runs, 7 hits, no errors. Chicago, 4 runs, 8 hits, 1 error. I'll repeat that. The Twins, 7, the White Sox, 4. Jim Merritt went all the way, weakened in the late innings, but hung on to record his 3rd win. He's lost 12. The Twins scored 4 in the first and 3 unearned runs in the 8th inning, and it turned out they needed them. Chicago, meanwhile, scored a run in the 7th, a run in the 8th, and then Don Buford hit a 2-run homer in the 9th. Bizarre, the starter and loser, followed by Higgins and Pizarro. The Twins pick up a game and lead Chicago now by 2 as the Twins hold on to 4th place. And right now are, let's see, they're in an exact tie for 3rd with the Indians, both with 68 and 61 records. In the National League, the Giants started play, leading the Pirates by a half game. That's our scoreboard show for tonight. We'll be with you again tomorrow afternoon, 1:10 Central Daylight Time, when the Twins again meet Chicago.
Ray Scott's scoreboard was presented by your Ford dealer, the man who now offers you tremendous savings on the best-selling Fords ever. The 66 Fords. See him now during his official 1966 Ford clearance sale.
Home brand.
Mm-hmm.
Home brand on the label. Home brand.
Mm-hmm.
Means good food on your table. Home brand.
Mm-hmm.
With the U.S. grade A label. Home brand. Home brand. Home brand good.
Me again, girls, your friendly home brand peanut butter man. As a special incentive for you to show your loyalty, I'm making a special offer. Send in the labels from only 35 jars of home brand peanut butter, and I'll send you a special gold-plated button engraved. I am a first-rate supporter of the home brand peanut butter man. It's just the thing for impressing your friends. It's also good for mending broken straps. Now, if you're a cheapskate, you can send in the label off one jar, and I'll send you a button engraved, I am a second-rate supporter of the home brand peanut butter man. It's not much of a button, but if you won't buy 35 jars of home brand peanut butter, you're not much of a friend either.
Studio St. Paul and Minneapolis at 830. This is WCCO. Big Ten News, your nighttime roundup of top developments in the region, in the nation, and in the world. Brought to you by Lund's Full Service, family-owned food stores, where good things to eat and full service makes Lund's really wonderful stores. And now here's Dick Chapman.
What a night. What a beautiful evening in CCO land. You know, you can take all of those cold winter days. You can take all the heat, all the ribbing from people outside of CCO land and say, how can you stand those winters up there? And I say one or two or three nights like this, or a summer like this, make up for all the winter we have, huh? Well, let's look at the news. The three major candidates for governor of Minnesota have differing strategies for their campaigns between now and the September 13th primary. Governor Karl Rolvaag will spend almost full time at the Minnesota State Fair for the next 10 days. I saw him there this evening on the preparation day, the preview day at the fair. He dedicated the reopening of the new conservation building. After the fair, the governor will make a final tour of outstate areas and wind up his campaign in the Twin Cities area September 10th through the 12th. And aides say that Rolvaag may buy some television spot announcements. DFL endorsed candidate Lieutenant Governor A.M. Keith is currently altering his plans for the final days of the campaign, and aides say full details won't be announced until Monday. However, it's believed Keith probably will substitute a primary time TV appearance on a statewide network Monday night for his afternoon weekly programs. Harold Levander, the Republican endorsee for governor, who has only token opposition in the primary, is expected to concentrate on the Twin Cities area as Election Day nears. Levander will also put in some time at the state fair. And two candidates for the post of lieutenant governor were largely in accord today. Jim Getz, the GOP endorsee, told a meeting of Blue Earth County party leaders that the state is trying to operate a 19th century tax structure on a 20th century economy. He said that the state Republican Party is calling for, in his words, a long-range, full fiscal reform policy based primarily on economic expansion. Meanwhile, in Pine City, Minnesota, DFL candidate for Lieutenant Gov said today that Minnesota's horse and buggy tax system is hampering efforts to generate economic growth in both rural and urban Minnesota. Robert Short, the candidate, said that the 1967 legislature must provide for government reorganization and comprehensive tax reform. Another lieutenant governor candidate, DFL endorsee Gerald Christensen, says he'll oppose any general state sales tax. Christensen said at Benson, Minnesota, that Governor Karl Rolvaag and his running mate Robert Short apparently are willing to consider some form of sales tax. More news just a moment. You know, quite often, some days my wife says to me, I'm about to come home from the office, and she phones and she says, hey, Dick, will you stop at Lund's on the way home? Some days, almost all the time she says that. I guess I'm probably one husband who does more shopping than any other husband. Well, in a way, I'm kind of glad that happens because when I get a chance to browse through, let's say, the fruit and vegetable department at Lund's, boy, I have a ball. They have the cleanest, freshest, best fruits and vegetables in town, and what a choice. Well, all you can say is they have everything from everywhere. That kind of takes care of it all. Right now, I'm kind of hepped up on those seedless grapes they got. Holy mackerel, they're the biggest, sweetest seedless grapes I ever saw anywhere. I usually stop at Lund's on 50th Street. It's near my house. And I wander around, and I help myself to a cup of coffee. They always have coffee at the Lund's stores. And I talk to the hostess and to Gertrude there in the fruit department, Gertrude. And then I go over and I talk to Clem or Elwood in the meat department. There's a couple of guys that know their onions. That's not the right thing. They know their meat. And we talk about the various cuts of meat. Actually, do you know that Lund's cater to men's shoppers? They really do. So tomorrow, why don't you take Dad over to Lund's on Lake Street or on 50th and France and just turn him loose? You know what, ladies? You'll find out that Dad will do all the shopping for you. Come up with new ideas for menus that you never dreamed of. And you'll have fun, too, actually. So, ladies, when Pop comes home from the office and he says, what's for dinner? You just say, Let you and me go to Lund's and you decide. You'll find out that he'll enjoy the shopping, and you'll all enjoy the eating. Well, a new Princess K of the Milky Way was crowned tonight at the State Fair. She is 18-year-old Linda Kutke of Glencoe, Minnesota. Linda was crowned at the Minnesota State Fairgrounds by the retiring Princess Mary Ann Tiptrud of Clarissa. Attendants named tonight were 18-year-old Barbara Wentzel of Medford and 17-year-old Evelyn Woolcow of Farmington. The Minneapolis City Council unanimously passed a civil rights ordinance today. The law combines the present Fair Employment Practices Commission with the Mayor's Human Relations Commission and contains a fair housing provision that exempts both owner-occupied duplexes and rooming houses. The law also includes what is called an anti-riot provision. It's illegal now for groups to organize for the purpose of creating civil disobedience. General criticism of the bill by various civil rights leaders centers on the enforcement provisions. Many claim it does not give the new commission adequate power to enforce its orders, but in spite of those protests, the vote approving the measure today in the Minneapolis City Council was unanimous. A 27-year-old Bloomington, Minnesota man was killed tonight in a one-car crash in suburban Bloomington. Police identified the victim as Thomas Cochran. His car reportedly went out of control, ran off a road, struck a tree. The state's death toll, by the way, is 543 right now. That's 50 ahead of last year at this time. And last year, as you remember, we set a new all-time bloody record. A federal grand jury in Minneapolis returned a number of indictments today. A former assistant cashier of the First National Bank of Cannon Falls was indicted in connection with a shortage of about $30,000. Lawrence Drager had worked for the bank until last March, was charged with making false bookkeeping entries. Two counts of conspiracy to rob a bank and one count of robbery were returned against two Arkansas men. They were arrested after the $9,800 bizarre holdup of the Citizens State Bank at Big Lake August 11th. And two 34-year-old Minneapolis men, James Zaccardi and Wayne Carlson, were charged with possession and printing of 482 counterfeit $1,000 Federal Reserve bills. Well, another doctor's instrument bag was stolen last night, this time at Blue Earth, Minnesota, and police say they think there's a connection between the theft and similar burglaries in southern Minnesota and northern Iowa. The bag stolen from Dr. John Anderson of Blue Earth contained a small amount of narcotics and about $200 worth of instruments. There were similar thefts at Estherville, Iowa last Wednesday and one yesterday morning at Jackson, Minnesota. In each case, a car parked near a clinic or hospital was broken into and a physician's bag taken. Where some of the bags had been recovered, narcotics were always missing from the contents. Speculation continues that President Johnson and Mrs. Johnson may well attend the wedding of Robert Humphrey and Donna Erickson tomorrow at St. Olaf's Catholic Church in downtown Minneapolis. Authorities at the Naval Air Station in Minneapolis say they've received word that the president and his party may be flying in with an expected arrival time of approximately 9 tomorrow morning. However, there is no definite word on the president's plans from the White House. About 650 invited guests are expected to turn out at 10 in the morning for that big wedding of the Vice President's son and Miss Erickson. Construction plans for the University of Minnesota and six colleges in the state received a shot in the arm today. The Minnesota Liaison and Facilities Committee on Higher Education approved building grants totaling over $4 million, with more than $1 million going to the university. A quick glance at national news. U.S. officials say that more than 20 American servicemen were killed, many more injured today, when Air Force jets accidentally dropped flaming napalm into a company of U.S. infantrymen in South Vietnam. The firebombs were called for during a close-quarter battle with the Viet Cong 20 miles north of Saigon. Seven civil rights groups say they'll march Sunday in Chicago's all-white suburb of Cicero. A spokesman for the West Side organization announced the march after Dr. Martin Luther King called off plans for a similar parade. King's action came after civic and civil rights leaders reached agreement on attacking the open housing problem in Chicago. And the National Space Agency says lunar orbiter's behavior in flight shows that the moon is slightly pear-shaped. What do you know about that? An agency spokesman says there is a bulge at the moon's north pole and a depression at the south pole with a slight bulge in between. Reminds me of a guy I know. The lunar experts are surprised at the finding since previously the moon had appeared quite symmetrical. Well, we'll take a look at the weather in just a moment. Say, the other day I was talking with some of the old-fashioned butchers behind the counter there at the meat counter at Lund's Stores. Boy, they're loaded with information, and are always glad to help when you got questions. I walked up and I said, hey, looked like a beautiful weekend. What about some outdoor grilling? What do you got for, a suggestion? And this fella touted me off on Lund's fire chickens. You know, you can charcoal grill for quite a few people and for really not much money with fire chickens. Did you know that Lund's fryers come from their own growers? Boy, they are really fresh and so expertly dressed and cleaned. Well, they're just darn good chickens. And you can get them either whole for barbecuing or spit grilling like I like to do them. Or you can get them cut up for cooking right on the charcoal grill. You can even tell the butcher how you want them cut up. My wife, for example, frequently likes the old-fashioned cut up so that the wishbone is there, you know. And then you cook them slowly and baste them with melted butter every time you turn the pieces. Oh, man, when you get through, you've really got something. Lund's Pure Ground Beef, there's another money saver for grilled hamburgers on toasted Lund's picnic buns. Say, it's going to be a beautiful weekend, so tomorrow morning, why don't you run off on a shopping trip to Lund's, either at 50th in France or at Lake Street in Hennepin, for all your good things to eat. Here are the Dow Jones closings. Industrials are down 11.81, rails down 3.59, utilities down 1.82 in the volume, 8,190,000 shares. You know what? The weather is supposed to stay beautiful right on through tomorrow. Minnesota, fair and a little warmer. The only chance for showers are some widely scattered showers, maybe tomorrow night or Sunday. The expected temperatures across the state tomorrow from 86 to 94. And for the Twin Cities, the low tonight expected at 58, and the high tomorrow, 90 degrees. Right now, we have 73 degrees, and that's the latest. Dick Chapman reporting for Lund's full-service, family-owned food stores, where good things to eat and full service make Lund's really wonderful stores. In just 1 minute, we'll have news of the world.
In every pump.
To that taste so rich and rare.
A real taste that's really there.
The best tobacco makes the best smoke.
So get the Camel and try a real smoke.
Have a Camel cigarette.
The time now in CCO land is 18 minutes 23 seconds before 11 p.m. Central Daylight Time. And time for Dimension.
This is Dimension on WCCO Radio. Arv Johnson reporting, brought to you by Minnesota Blue Cross, leader in the field of hospitalization. More Minnesotans buy low-cost health care protection from Blue Cross than from all competitors. Remember, when you buy Blue Cross, you buy the best. This story is true. Only the name of the candidate and the number of the legislative district have been changed to protect the guilty. The story in a moment. You hear so many people mention they belong to Blue Cross that it seems everybody does. Well, this isn't so. The number of Blue Cross members only equals the population of New York, London, Tokyo, Shanghai, Moscow, Mexico City, and Los Angeles, plus the entire population of Holland. 62 million people rely on Blue Cross, the modern health plan that started health plans. A non-profit plan, Blue Cross uses only 7 cents of each subscriber dollar for administrative costs and reserves for future care, enabling more money to go into subscriber benefits. Last year, in fact, Blue Cross, on a national average, returned more subscribers' money in the form of benefits than any other health plan. It paid countless thousands of hospital bills that might otherwise have been a burden, brought real peace of mind to many individuals to whom illness could have meant years of indebtedness. Wouldn't you be better off with Blue Cross, the largest voluntary health plan in the world? I have in my hand a piece of campaign literature, attractively printed in red, white, and blue, telling me that a man whom I'll call John XX Doe would like to be my spokesman in the legislature. But it doesn't tell me what John XX Doe's political philosophy is. I realize, of course, that our Minnesota legislators are elected without party designation, and many of them cling closely to their independence from political parties. Now, this is not a pitch for or against party designation.
But if a man who wants to be my representative on Capitol Hill in St. Paul has been endorsed by a political party, I want to know about it. And I learned through a simple telephone call to the headquarters of one of the major parties that John XX Doe has their endorsement. But his campaign literature gives no indication. Now, here's what it says. Introducing John XX Doe, candidate state legislature in what I'll call the 99th District, Minneapolis, Minnesota. There's a large picture of a distinguished, mature-looking, but obviously not old man. The handbill says John Doe wants to represent you in the state legislature. Now, apparently he plans to be on his feet quite a bit, because the copy contains this information. John Doe stands up for tax reform, fair taxes wisely spent, up-to-date methods, tax consideration for the aged and students. John Doe stands up for one man, one vote. John Doe stands up for a safe and beautiful district with educational opportunities for all, with ample police protection, curfew, lighting, and recreation. Now let's see what this tells us about John Doe's ideology. Tax reform, fair taxes wisely spent, up-to-date methods. I think you'll find support for such on both sides of the political fence. Tax consideration for the aged, likewise. And in view of my own proximity to that status, I could buy it from a selfie standpoint. Tax consideration for students? Well, maybe somewhat controversial on both sides of the fence, but with two young Johnsons at the university now and two more planning to attend later, again, it sounds personally satisfactory to me. One man, one vote. Well, it's pretty hard to find anyone opposing that position in the rapidly growing metropolitan area. A safe and beautiful district with educational opportunities for all, with ample police protection, curfew, lighting, and recreation. Well, heavens to Betsy, yes. But Mr. Doe, why not tell us about that endorsement? The party says that it shouldn't be a detriment to your chances in District 99. In fact, it should give you an advantage. And I'm sure there are many politically conscious voters in the district who'd like to know if you're likely to caucus with the DFL Liberals or with the Conservatives in the Minnesota House of Representatives. This has been Dimension on WCCO Radio, Arv Johnson reporting, brought to you by Minnesota Blue Cross, providing low-cost health care protection for nearly a million Minnesotans. Remember, Blue Cross leads the field with more hospitalization in force in Minnesota than all other companies.
Good automotive service can't be mass-produced. Every make of car is different. So the man who services your car has to know your car, not just a part of it, but all of it. That's why owners of General Motors cars and trucks take them back to their GM dealers for regular Guardian maintenance service. Guardian maintenance service is tailored to their make of car, and the skilled Guardian maintenance servicemen know that car from top to bottom. So be safe, be sure, be satisfied. See your GM dealer for Guardian maintenance service.
Continuing now with the Big Ten News, it's sports time. Chuck Lilligren for Paul Giel.
Good evening, Paul. Of course, with the Vikings, it was a big night for the Minnesota sports fan tonight. A cliffhanger on the pro football exhibition scene, and the Twins, with a 6-run lead, held on in the ninth for a thriller. The Twins' score was Minnesota 7, Chicago 4, as Jim Merritt had an unaccustomed lead from his teammates. We'll check the other baseball scores in a minute. As part of a doubleheader exhibition game, NFL football in Cleveland tonight, the Vikings beat the Washington Redskins 30-27 by virtue of a last-ditch field goal by Fred Cox in the last 6 seconds of the game. Paul Giel talked with Coach Norm Van Brocklin right after the game.
Norm, I'm going to lead off with a two-part question. First of all, how did you feel about the game tonight? And then, as far as the season is concerned, exhibition-wise, up to this point, how do you feel?
Well, Paul, we played a lot of young people, as you know, secondary especially, and Sonny Jurgensen threw a lot of little junk stuff out there, little square outs and quick slants, and got them coming up a little bit, and then went deep on them, but and got looked pretty good. On the other hand, well, I thought our kids battled them pretty good.
I know you used a lot of rookies, and it's hard to tell until you see the film, so I won't ask about specific individuals, but one, and that's Archie Sutton. From where we sat, the offensive right tackle didn't look too bad tonight.
No, he didn't. I don't believe his man got in at any time. As a matter of fact, their pass rush is not very good in comparison to some of the other teams in the league. And, our passes shouldn't get thrown against the Redskins.
In these exhibition games, the defense, the Vikings defense, that is, has looked much better, but do you feel they've really seen a test yet?
Well, against Jurgensen, I don't think anybody in the league's got a better arm than Jurgensen. He didn't throw as much varied offense as a lot of the other teams will do. But on the other hand, he just nickel and dimed us tonight and kept the ball away from us. Our defense will be all right. We had Dixon didn't play tonight. We didn't have a good pass rush from him. We were going with Tillman and Shea, and neither one of them got near the passer all night, I don't believe. They must have been waltzing in there a little bit.
And the Cleveland Browns had a 14-0 lead over the Baltimore Colts after the first quarter in the second half of that doubleheader football. You know, summertime, and it has been summertime, hasn't it? Real summery weather today. Truly a wonderful time of the year in this sportsman's paradise of ours. Season for baseball games, golf, tennis, boating, exhibition football. Also for vacations and camping trips, to name a few activities. Summertime is also the time that many of you buy new cars. It makes real sense with so many good motoring opportunities at hand. It also makes real sense to finance your car with a $4 new car loan from the First State Bank of New Brighton. That's right. At the First State Bank of New Brighton, you pay only $4 a year for each $100 you borrow. This low money-saving rate was established more than 7 years ago at the First State Bank of New Brighton. It hasn't gone up a bit since then, and there's no thought of increasing it now. Wherever you live, wherever you buy your new car, you can finance it with a $4 new car loan from the First State Bank of New Brighton. All it takes to apply for your loan is a call or letter to the bank. They'll do the rest, and you can take up to 3 years to repay. Well, the Twins won tonight 7-4 over the White Sox. Washington beat Cleveland 1-0. New York 6, Detroit 5. It took 12 innings, but Baltimore edged out Boston 3-2. And after one inning, California leads Kansas City 4-0. In the National League, Houston beat Chicago 9-8 in the completion of a suspended game. After 4.5 innings of a regular game, Chicago 4, Houston 1. After 7 innings, Atlanta 5, New York Mets 3. After 8 innings, Cincinnati 2, Philadelphia 1. After 8 innings, Pittsburgh 6, St. Louis 1. And Los Angeles and San Francisco tied 0-0 after 2 innings of play. Defending champions Roy Emerson and Fred Stolle of Australia have advanced through another round of their quest for a second straight U.S. doubles tennis championship. Emerson and Stolle teamed today to beat England's Mark Cox and Graham Stilwell 9-7, 11-9, 6-3 at Chestnut Hill, Massachusetts. Also advancing today was the American duo of Arthur Ashe and Marty Reeson. They eliminated Australians Owen Davidson and Bill Barry 6-3, 6-4, 15-13. In women's play, the second-seeded team of Billie Jean King and Rosemary Casals rallied for a 4-6, 6-3, 6-4 win over California teenagers Patty Hogan and Peggy Michael. And top-ranked Nancy Ritchie and Maria Bueno ousted the team of Peaches Bartkowitz. That's quite a team. Peaches Bartkowitz and Marilyn Ashner, 6-1, 6-1. Heavyweight champion Cassius Clay has announced plans to make 3 more title defenses before the end of the year. Clay, who leaves the United States on Monday for Germany to fight Carl Mildenberger September 10th, said he hopes to fight Cleveland Williams in Houston around November 1st and then meet Ernie Terrell in Chicago about the last week in December. Clay has already defended his crown 3 times this year. He whipped George Schiavolo in March, Henry Cooper in May, Brian London earlier this month. After the third quarter now, Cleveland and Baltimore all tied up in that exhibition football game, 17-17. 3 Texans have galloped into the lead midway through the $110,000 Philadelphia Golf Classic. Don January and Billy Martindale, both of Dallas, and Ave Marr, a native of Houston, moved at 1 stroke ahead of the field with 36 hole scores of 6 under par, 138. Marr had the best round of the 3 today when he fired a 6 under par, 66. Minneapolis remains undefeated in the National Baseball Congress Tournament at Wichita, Kansas. 2 other teams still have had no losses, but they're Eureka, California, and Lubbock, Texas, who played tonight. The winner of that game will meet Minneapolis tomorrow night. Minneapolis defeated Wichita Auto Service last night, 7-2. A youth who was a defensive football standout at St. John's University is dead as a result of an auto accident. He was 20-year-old Patrick Wallin, killed yesterday when his car left the county road and overturned near Cambridge, Minnesota, his hometown. Wallin would have been a senior this fall at St. John's, which last year won the National Association of Intercollegiate Athletics Football Championship. St. John's also won the title in 1963. Wallin was a defensive halfback. In Northern League Baseball tonight, same as last night's pairing, Sioux Falls at Bismarck, Aberdeen at St. Cloud, Huron at Duluth. Doctors at St. Luke's Hospital in Houston say that veteran pitcher Whitey Ford is recovering splendidly from yesterday's operation on his arm. A hospital spokesman said Ford is receiving routine care and that doctors consider the operation to correct a blocked artery a success. Doctors will determine next week when Ford can be released from the hospital. They said there's no reason why the New York Yankee left-hander cannot return to full activity. Whether his club wins the pennant or not, Harry Walker will return next year as manager of the Pittsburgh Pirates. Club general manager Joe Brown announced today that no contract has yet been signed because of more pressing matters at the moment, such as the tight National League pennant chase in which the Pirates are currently only a half game behind first place San Francisco. Said Brown, "I was talking with Harry last night before the team left for St. Louis. Asked him if he wanted to come back. He said he did. It was that simple." Joan Garvin won her fourth golf crown of the summer today on the first hole of a sudden-death playoff with Carol Ellis of the State Women's Amateur Golf Championship at the Town and Country Golf Club in St. Paul. Both had tied with 324s for the 72 holes. It was the Minnesota Valley golfer's ninth try at the amateur. Earlier this summer, she won the Resorters, the MWGA 54-hole stroke play, and the MWGA match play tournaments. Candy Michaeloff finished at 325, followed by Carol Deming at 326 and Jan Kelling at 327. You know, nice things happen to people who bank at the First State Bank of New Brighton. There's an advertising slogan there that has real meaning behind it. For example, most people who maintain their personal checking accounts at the First State Bank of New Brighton hardly know what a service charge is. Now, that's because the cost of having a checking account there is so fantastically small that we can't even mention the rate on the air. But you can get all the details just by calling or visiting the bank, First State Bank of New Brighton. If you don't already have a personal checking account, you're going to discover that it'll be your passport to a world of convenience. And you have no idea how little your account will cost until you call or visit the First State Bank of New Brighton. Speaking of checking accounts, remember, this is one financial service available only at a full-service commercial bank, such as the First State Bank of New Brighton. Once again, the Vikings won tonight 30-27 in the last 6 seconds with a Freddie Cox field goal. The Twins won 7-4 in 12 innings. Baltimore beat Boston 3-2, New York 6, Detroit 5. After an inning, California 4, Kansas City 1. In the National League, Atlanta beat New York 6-3, Houston 9, Chicago 8. That was the completion of a suspended game. After 5 innings, Chicago 4 and Houston 1. After 8 innings, Cincinnati 2, Philadelphia nothing. After 8 innings, Pittsburgh 6, St. Louis 1. And San Francisco, Los Angeles scoreless after 3 innings. That's the sports news. Chuck Lilligren sitting in for Paul Giel.
And that's the Big Ten News for Friday, August 26th. You hear the Big Ten News 7 nights a week on WCCO Radio. A full review of the news of our region, our nation, and our world. Tonight's reports came from Dick Chapman, Arv Johnson, and Chuck Lilligren. Editors tonight were Bob West and Curtis Beckman.
Am I a Dynachrome convert? You bet your life.
Folks, here's one of thousands of camera fans who's changed to new Dynachrome color film.
May I help you, sir?
You can if you have Dynachrome color film.
No, aren't you Groucho Marx?
Watch your language. There may be children listening.
Oh, are you incognito?
No, I'm in a hurry. How about that Dynachrome?
Let's see. Dynachrome.
That's it. The one from 3M Company.
Oh, yes. You sure you wouldn't rather have?
No, I wouldn't rather have. Gotta be sure of the color. Maybe shooting some colorful friends. Rose LaRue, Peaches Melba, Scarlett Schwartz.
Yes. Say, look at this price. Dynachrome really saves you money.
Certainly. If they'd have shot Gone with the Wind in Dynachrome, they'd have saved millions.
Groucho, I'd say you're a real...
A real Dynachrome convert. You bet your life.
Why don't you join the Dynachrome converts? Get Dynachrome for color slides and movies. Film so good, you'll forget it costs less.
You'll be on the go with CCO at CCO Land's biggest social event of the year when Robert Humphrey, the Vice President's son, and Miss Donna Erickson marry this Saturday morning at St. Olaf's Church in Minneapolis. Our lovely news lady, Barbara Beerhalter of WCCO Radio News, will be at St. Olaf's reporting to you this coming Saturday morning. The station that serves the nation all the night through. From Hobbs House.